Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Everyone, I'm Rob from Movie Geek and Proud.
And it's Ryan from Radical Retro Rewind.
All right, so this is sort of a end case, I guess, to close up our crossover event of It Takes Two and Parent Trap. As advertised earlier in the week, we both reviewed our respective movies on our specific podcast. Now we are joining together once again to highlight the women of the hour, the two fiancés slash almost wicked stepmothers, and that is Clarice Kensington from It Takes Two and Meredith Blake from The Parent Trap. So I'm representing Clarice Kensington, and
I have the unfortunate duty of representing Meredith Blake.
Well, not only are we sort of seeing who is the meanest, the cruelest, the baddest, but we're also highlighting how fierce and funny and also very iconic these two characters are in their respective movies.
Yes.
And how the gays in particular remember them till this day. So Ryan, highlight Meredith Blake in a way, and what are some of the shadiest stuff she did in your movie to recap?
God, Rod, I feel like I have such a challenge here, because once you view or review It Takes Two, your girl, she is a beast. So, okay. Meredith. You may remember her from her white hat, mysteriously hiding herself until she is revealed the condescending, sassy future stepmother of the Lohan, as I like to call her. Her evil deeds, it's her evil dudes, that's right, because she's probably got a few men too. Her evil deeds include bringing a bell. Now, once you start listing off Clarice's evil dudes, the fact that this lady's bringing a bell to summon Cheesy, as I like to call her, but her name was Jessie.
Yeah.
She brings a bell, so she's bringing that level of energy right away, that you're a servant to me. I don't care that you're a family friend as well as a helper to my daughter. No, I'm bringing a bell. You're going to be summoned when I ring this bell, and whenever I ring something, you're coming. If that is not pretentious, evil, I am better than you attitude, I am a rich lady. Oh, I'm actually laughing having to do this, Rob, because I have so many good ones for your lady that I am not going to bring up unless you forget to mention.
Because I don't even
know where to begin. This woman
totally
is evil.
That's totally fair. No, with the bell thing, I mean, that is very disrespectful on a human level. I'm surprised that sort of like antic or gesture or even like a command even works today. So like that movie, when did that movie take place? 98. So in 98, yes, we were still using bells to summon people. Like, where do you think she lives? I mean, that's not even a, I don't even know if that's like only a rich thing. Like, it seems like a rich, like international thing, but it's like, who would still do that to another human being, to summon people with a bell? Like, that is just so heavy on the disrespect.
It's definitely used to highlight, I hope, at that point at 98, that she's this creature. But
yeah,
I mean, Rob, I always dreamed of using a bell when I had a sore throat and I was sick as a child. Just ask for some, like, soup or something. I never, like, this is the how I would equate a bell. Yeah, she's ringing that bell like Quasimodo, Meredith.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was definitely pretty harsh. I mean, it doesn't matter how rich you are. It's weird when you're in a place, but I guess that's the etiquette way, because to be proper and to be, you know, like, of some high standard, you don't yell. You know, women don't yell. They don't speak of high volume, and, you know, unless you're saying off with their head, that's pretty much the only time you yell. But, like, women don't yell, so this is how we call people. You know, we didn't have cell phones back then and all that stuff, but that's the thing. It's an old-timey gesture. It's not something that you do today. It's yeah. What was that movie? Wasn't it Cinderella, where Tremaine would pull on a string and it would ring a bell all the way in the kitchen or whatever? Like, that's for back in the day. You don't do that today. And this man allowed it. He was like, yeah
because if we remember, she brought her own bell. She literally brought a box over that afternoon like it was a gift. So she went and bought herself a bell.
Yeah.
So, and I want to say that she gets it from her mama and her father, because we see at one point Meredith's father is okay with whatever happens as long as they get that money. So they know that they're going to get their daughter locked down with this rich millionaire. So she gets it from her parents. This is a whole family of people you do not want to associate. These are these stuck up, seeking money people. I mean, there she's well off in some regard, but you could totally tell that they are these people that are chasing money. They want more money. They want their family to have more. They want their daughter to have more. And I will give it to Meredith. I think the only way that I can win this argument is her style. Because if it's based on style, Meredith might win.
No, her fashion was on point. She looked so good. Even down to her camping gear, she looked good. Like, anytime she put on an outfit, she wore it to the nines. It was, yes. She looked great throughout this whole movie.
And both women drop the bomb of boarding school to the respective girls in their movie. So they're on the same, they got the same ideas going. But I will say Meredith is a little more sneaky with how she goes about her sass. I feel like Clarice is just instantly nasty and reads it on her face. So it also makes you wonder how the father in your movie went along with her so easy. Because it seems like she's just being nasty in front of him and in various sorts of ways. I will say Meredith at least is a little more, she's a little more calculated.
Yeah. No, I hear that. Didn't you catch Meredith listening to R&B when she dropped by the house? I was like, oh, you be kicking it
at
the clubs.
That's how she gets down.
She be kicking it at the clubs. I love it. I love it. Yes, boarding school is usually the epitome punishment for any rich child, is that they'll be sent off and never see their family again. But the other things that I noticed was the, you know, like you said, the parents were definitely, like, she's a product of gold digging parents for sure. And this boarding school was in Timbuktu, by the way. Yeah, she picked the furthest of the furthest boarding schools. But it's that sheer ultimatum of being like, get rid of your kid or I leave you. No, you don't do that. To just be like, choose me between you and your kid. Like, no, that's not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. But what the balls on her to do it, though.
The balls. And it started with the bell, I think.
Yeah. No, Meredith Blake is awesome. I think she's so fierce. She is hilarious. She was given those one-liners like crazy. She had her gay hint on her. She's known as the Ice Woman, and also a nickname to her is Cruella. Those her diggings. So she earned them perfectly.
Do you think one of the other had more to work with as with their evilness?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, so if we're talking about Clarice Kensington, and if Kensington doesn't scream like uppity and privilege and snob, I don't know what does. Kensington. Oh, God. But compared to the two women, though, Clarice wasn't really in the movie as much as Meredith. Meredith had more of a hands-on experience dealing with these kids. There were multiple pranks put on her. her and a lot of sass between her and Lindsay Lohan's character. She was more involved with trying to make sure Dennis Quaid didn't leave her. And Clarice was just sort of under the radar. I mean, like you said, it was blatantly clear that this woman was evil. So there wasn't really any reason to have her have multiple scenes
right.
with her showing this, because it was clear they weren't right for each other. They concentrated more on the love story that was being created, because Parent Trap already had that solidified. So we needed that to be created.
Yep.
Clarice, though, when she hits. Like, there are so many scenes in this movie where she lays it down as the most despicable person. God. Let's start with how insanely rude she is to the folks who work for the Calloways, especially to good old Vincenzo. I just remember I texted you when you were watching this. I was like, listen for that Vincenzo.
Because I thought I had it on lock. But if you listen to the Parent Trap, I had at the point, spoiler alert, with podcasting, some things sometimes it's not exactly in order. So I was sure rewatching this. Oh my God. I was not ready for her level of Francesco.
Yeah. Francesco. But yeah, I mean, Clarice again is a woman who's not recognizable to much. And also people don't really remember It Takes Two as much. But the woman who plays her, Jane Sibbett, she is mostly recognized outside of this as Carol from Friends, who is Ross's baby mom. And she also played the lead woman and love interest to Herman from the TV show Herman's Head. That's where I remember her mostly from. Yeah, I loved Herman's Head. And yeah, her name was Hetty, and she worked for the same company as Herman did, and they sort of had this like off and on relationship. But the woman is she just plays this character so well. And so yeah, she's rude to all of the people that kind of work for the dad. And she also goes through this moment of where she's kind of walking around the house and she's thinking about redecorating. And while Alyssa is hiding and she doesn't know that Alyssa's in the room, Clarice says this line, no wonder your wife is dead. She had horrible taste. So she's mocking the dead. And like, wow, like what a line. Like, that's horrible. That's so rude. And then again, she uses the boarding school threat. But here's the kicker. Twice she attempted to hit a child. At the end of the movie, she raises her hand is in formation to slap the shit out of this kid for ruining the marriage, the wedding. And when she couldn't do one child, she tried to hit the other. And I'm like, so it wasn't like a spur of the moment anger, like, oh my God, I can't believe I almost hit a kid. No, she tried to hit a kid, failed, and then tried to do it again in front of people, in front of everyone. She had no qualms about who saw it. She really raised her hand so high to slap the shit out of a kid. Can you believe it?
Right? It wasn't her axe that got her. It was this children's fault that she ain't getting married. Yeah.
Right.
I could not. I literally held my mouth over that and the part when she said about the mother. Oh, God, this woman.
Yeah. Terrible, terrible, terrible. So a nickname that was given to her was Calloway Ghost. And for those of the episode know the part that I'm talking about. But Clarice was definitely the epitome of the wicked fiance, you know, breaking up a family home, taking place of a mom. I mean, it was this very big cliche that we had back in Disney in these live action films. And, you know, I totally get it. You know, for me, I don't particularly like roles like this, because no matter how horrible they are, the men agreed to marry them. The men agreed to love them. And for some reason, they took them as they are. You know, it's not like they pretended or tried to hide their evilness. They were who they were from the beginning, and these men didn't care. And now they should just get the short end of the stick and be broken up and left at the altar just because you can't, you know, handle it. But, you know, we justify these parts because they're evil and it's like they get what they deserve. But it didn't seem like both women were after the man's money, you know, like, yes, they wanted to continue that rich lifestyle that they're used to, but who's to say that they didn't genuinely like their partners, you know?
And I mean, I don't blame them. They, yeah. In the two men that they picked, but Lord have mercy, these are wicked ladies.
Yeah, they're very very weak. So, I mean, they definitely justify the actions as to why they, you know, didn't win at the end. But at the end of the day, I think that they were both really screwed over royally by the greater good, quote unquote. And, you know, again, if this was something they just discovered and, you know, we didn't know that they were like evil, then yes, it would make sense if they're being deceiving. But, you know, they were both in true selves. These women did not care who they needed to step on to get to the top. I say, do what you got to do. But I mean, we can clearly say who is the cruelest, meanest, bitchiest one of them all.
I cannot deny it.
Clarice Kensington, seriously.
1000%. I can't front. I can't. No, she even did my number one thing, which was she hit the nose of when she met Amanda or the Olsen twins character. She did that little ooh kind of thing with the nose. No, that alone.
All right. So here's the ultimate question. Do you prefer The Parent Trap or It Takes Two?
Oh my God, Rob. I will say that both are actually great on their own. They both exist on their own. I mean, of course, the comparison is there. Plot is almost identical in most ways, but... I was sure that The Parent Trap was gonna win because, well known, it possibly filmed better because it was more of a high budget movie.
Definitely.
And it is filmed beautifully, but I really enjoyed It Takes Two.
Nice. No, that's cool. I was unsure how I was going to come out of this because It Takes Two is a movie that is a little bit older and more forgotten within the next generation and whatnot. I see The Parent Trap on TV more than It Takes Two. I'm sure it's due to their distribution and, you know, how often it mm-hmm. airs and whatnot. But it's not easy to just watch It Takes Two on TV, right? So Parent Trap has more of an exposure, which means it clearly has the better popularity, and it also involves, you know, a child actress who, you know, was renowned at that time, right? So, you know, Parent Trap definitely has its charm. I think Lindsay Lohan killed it. I loved her dual roles. Definitely the budget shows in this with the cinematography, the fashion, and the one-liners, all of that work. There was a lot more involvement with the adult characters as well.
Yes.
But watching It Takes Two again, and yeah, many people may not know about the movie as much as the other one, but It Takes Two just has more of a grounded, earthy tone to it. I just think there's just a little bit more of a realism to it. It's still a child's movie, but it feels more relatable than The Parent Trap. There's a lot of fantastical things that I think are enjoyable. You go to the movies to escape, but, you know, being on the boat for dinner and just all their, you know, both parents are rich and they just go through this high. There's something very grounded and real about It Takes Two that I liked about the script. And then again, the actors that were in it. I'm just, again, this screams more 90s to me than The Parent Trap does. And so I appreciate It Takes Two more as the predominant movie.
Poor Parent Trap. You know what, though? It gets its love. You only hear about The Parent Trap.
Thank you. Parent Trap is good. Most people will completely disagree with me on this, of as course. Most do. But I just like that. I just prefer that one.
And having to say, I don't know if it's because we mentioned this on Movie Geek and Proud, but I really like the Olsons. I don't know if that has to do with it because we're both from the same generation and we grew up with them in a way, you know? And Lindsay did appear later on, but I think that might be half the battle too. It's like you have this almost relationship because the Olsons were everywhere in everything at the time too. So that might be it, but I totally enjoyed It Takes Two.
Yeah.
A lot.
Well, since we put that to bed, now it is time for this summer camp and other tour to begin. Remember, starting January 2nd, this next Wednesday, it kicks off. I will be doing American Pie Presents Band Camp to start us off. And then the following Friday, Ryan is going to start his Crystal Lake Chronicle with the first Friday the 13th.
I can't wait. I hope I brought enough to protect myself as we venture out into these camps. You know, we're traveling to a few different camps ourselves. So we got to get packed and we got to make sure we're ready for these movies and the adventures ahead. My God, there's going to be a lot happening.
Exactly, exactly. So you'll definitely hear me on his show a couple of times throughout this summer, and he will be joining me on some of these summer camp reviews as well. So again, look out for an episode each week, Wednesday and Friday, all the way through the end of August. And yeah, enjoy your summer.
Bye, Radical Ones.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.